Hiya pals, and welcome back to the Chatty Freelancer podcast, the home of creative honesty. In today's episode, I am chatting with the joyful Nancy Healy, a freelance editorial and print designer based right here in Glasgow. But what makes her super special is that she's also the founder of Sandwiches, a magazine celebrating Glasgow's food scene, local culture, and the stories behind the people making the city what it is. In this episode, we're meeting Nancy at Bocca Sandwich Shop to chat about how the magazine started, why she decided to take the leap and create it, and why sometimes the best creative opportunities come from simply following your passion projects. We'll also talk about freelancing as a young designer in Glasgow and Nancy's advice for students and creatives who are figuring out their own path. So without further ado, let's go meet Nancy for a chat.
Nancy.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And for chatting. You're very welcome. Thank you for coming on and chatting about Sandwiches, your life as a freelancer in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. But before we get stuck into any of that, I want to ask you, if you were a sandwich, how would you describe yourself? What kind of sandwich would you be?
Such a hard question.
You're pretending you haven't thought about it.
I actually have thought about this, and I decided that, you know, when you're on a beach, on like a European city break on the beach, you go to supermarket, you get a fresh loaf, you get like fresh meats and cheeses, and you like build a sandwich on the beach, bit of rocket, bit of pesto. Is me as a sandwich.
I love that.
Like reliable, you always know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
A little bit chaotic.
But might have a bit of sand in it.
Yeah. That is me.
Those are the best sandwiches.
They are the best sandwiches.
Alioli.
Mm-hmm.
Have to get garlic alioli.
How
to
could
put
I forget?
Garlic alioli with chicken in this big white baguette. And then maybe a couple of Lay's chucked in there.
Yes. Ketchup Lay's.
Yeah. So...
That.
I can get that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be the same. I think I'd be a beach sandwich.
A beach sandwich. That is just the best sandwich.
Yes.
It's so nostalgic to
me. So you are the creator, the founder of Sandwiches.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know what Sandwiches is, what the hell is it?
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about? Like, why have you done this?
Yes, such a good question. There's many different answers to this, but I'll try and summarise it all because there's so many different like factors that
give
went into
it. Give us it all.
So, Sandwiches is a publication all about Glasgow food scene, more specifically sandwiches. But I say the food scene because we want to branch out eventually into different food groups.
No.
Well, there's only so many sandwiches you can talk about, I guess. But
this is true.
Yeah, but I've got ideas.
Fabulous.
So it kind of came about two different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First reason, I'm a designer, graphic designer, editorial designer, but same thing.
Yeah.
And I've always loved magazines and print, and I wanted to create my own magazine. And I was working in a magazine shop at the time.
Yeah.
And I just was around all this different type of print, and I kind of saw what was out there and what was missing, and kind of saw that like all the food magazines were just very broad, and I wanted to create something that was a lot more
niche.
Specific in one place and niche. I've always loved niche subjects and like making, like looking at something that's quite niche and like zooming in on it and making it more interesting. So I wanted to pick a food group and kind of use it as a vehicle to like explore the food scene as a whole. So yeah, that's kind of a very quick overview.
Yeah, but like it's obviously came from a place of like something that you're genuinely interested in. I think sometimes that's when like the best things are born.
Yeah.
As if you like if you love sandwiches,
totally.
And you love print, like why would you not?
I think the whole idea of sandwiches, it kind of came from a place of wanting to celebrate the food scene.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love a sandwich.
But there's other foods that you like.
Yeah. I wanted to use that subject as like a vehicle to like use it as a way to explore the whole scene as a whole.
Because Glasgow is, I mean, maybe a bit biased.
Yeah.
But it is amazing for food.
100%. Like, and when I first moved here, I was like really like shocked at how incredible it was.
Yeah. When did you move here?
2019.
Why did you move here?
For uni.
Where did you study?
Went to the art school.
Ah, nice. Okay. Yeah. When did you graduate?
2023.
Amazing.
God, that was so long ago.
Well, I was 22. 22. Right. So okay, you, nice. Yeah. Like, it sounds long ago, but it actually isn't.
I know, 3 years ago.
Yeah, so did you start sandwiches as soon as... No, because it was like last year.
Yeah, so I was... When I graduated, I kind of did the usual like internships.
Yeah.
I basically graduated and had no idea what I was going to do because... Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what sort of design I was really interested in, like, because COVID happened during my 4 years at uni, and that just disrupted everything. Yeah, like, it didn't give me a chance to, like, try anything out, and it was just such a shit show, I'm allowed to swear.
You can... Are you talking... Are you joking?
I was going to assume I'm allowed to swear.
Absolutely, you can
swear. Yeah, it was a shit show, I feel like it was the course where you had to put in a lot to get, what's that saying? The more you put in, the more you get out. If you just sat back, you weren't going to get much. You had to really like work for it.
Yeah.
And I figured that out in my last year. So I only had like 9 months to like work out what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I graduated, did some internships, quickly realised I did not want to be a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found like the whole, obviously I'm totally generalizing here, but mm-hmm. the creative scene in Glasgow I have found very like corporate, and just it was quite a shock to me because I went from a really creative course where
it's quite expression,
yeah, it's very like concept heavy, it's like you can do any medium ever as long as you have a strong concept.
Yeah,
and then going from that to doing an internship where I was like touching up a whiskey bottle, I was like, I can't do this.
I'm bored.
I was bored. So I was panicking because I was like, I don't even want to be a designer because...
If this is it.
I was like, what am I going to do? So
I'm going to start a magazine.
Yeah, pretty much. Long story short, that's about it.
Magazine.
Yeah.
So you've just launched SQ2
mm-hmm.
and you had your launch party not that long ago.
No.
It was so much fun. Yeah, it was
really fun.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
So, and so you've got one under your belt, right?
Yes.
So what was that process like? Did you do anything differently this time round? Like, what, honestly, like, what has this process been like?
Because
I know it's like this beautiful final product, gorgeous pages, gorgeous layout design, amazing photography, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what went into this?
Yes. So I feel like the first one, I literally started it purely as a passion project. Mm-hmm. I remember saying, if one stranger buys it, I would be overjoyed. And like, so many strangers bought it, which is so cool. Like, I really started it just as something for me, and just to like, I didn't even know if I was gonna get it printed. I was like, I'm gonna make it, go through the process. Then halfway through, I was like, this could really like be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the first one was definitely an experiment, and it was on the cheaper side, like with printing, because I obviously didn't have a lot of money. And I didn't even know the process of what goes into a printed publication. Like, I was doing it purely from a creative side. So issue two, once I knew there was like hype around it and people like cared about it, a lot more money has gone into it, which is good, but it's just like,
obviously growing.
Yeah.
And there's a demand.
I had to put more money into it. And it's a lot more focused on the storytelling and the writing.
Nice.
Because the first one, I've started it as like a photography magazine, but it's grown into this more writing focused magazine.
Because like, so for example, like each, so there's like, you go to like different like sandwich shops.
Yes.
Or holes in the walls or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And it's like you go and you document and you talk about that specific place, that specific chef or like whoever it is that's creating the sandwich and you write. So do you write all?
No.
Right, okay.
I'm not a writer, mate.
Yeah, but that's amazing. You've literally got like a wee team.
Yeah, I do. I have the best team. So Paul does all the photography. And the second issue, I hired a guy called Grant who is a chef, and he's like quite involved in the food scene, so he was so helpful, and he really like helped me develop the concept of everything. So having that team, because in the first one I worked with Paul, but I worked with three different writers and it was a bit chaotic, but with the second one, working with one person and he came to all the shoots, and it was so good. So have a really good team.
Yeah, and that's like, you can tell because the final product is like so, it's just so beautiful.
Oh,
like, if like I like,
it's so different though, isn't it?
It is. The second,
it's mad.
Yeah.
It's like a little book.
Yeah.
Not even a magazine anymore.
I know.
Genuinely.
Yeah. And like, I think from my personal experience, what attracts me to a magazine is like the type, the photography. Obviously, I'm a designer, so that's going to be what.
Yeah.
But then the subject matter itself. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have mine in my kitchen, like, on display, like, on my kitchen shelf. Because it's almost like a decorative piece as well.
That's really what I wanted, because working in the magazine shop, like, the amount of magazines out there that are really good magazines, but it's clear that they've not hired a designer and they've like put it together in Canva, which is so fair enough. It's like obviously not a priority, but I wanted to make a magazine and not compromise on like the design. And like, I wanted to design it the way that I want a magazine to look and not be like following a brief.
Yes.
So that's really why I started it, just to like satisfy myself.
Yeah. On it, doing things for yourself, I think sometimes you create, like, if you have no, like, client, it's like, we want to change this, we don't like that idea.
Yeah.
Like, having free reign, it just shows you.
Changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
And the success of this, that's kind of a testament to that.
Oh, like, thank
like,
you.
Well, it's so successful. Like, it really is.
It's pretty crazy. Like, I didn't expect it at all, but,
well, because it's been, like, for example, like, you, what was that, I've seen, like, you've had, it's in magazine stores, like, not even just in the UK.
Yeah.
But, like, how
did Japan?
Yes.
Like, how did that even happen? I work with a distributor, so credit to the distributor. Yeah. Like, magazine shops will order it from them. And, yeah, but it's crazy that, like, people read the description and think, I want, like, a magazine about Glasgow sandwiches. It's, like, how niche?
Yeah.
But then, like, people want it.
They do. And, like, you're, like, so, like, what have you learned from that process? Like, is there anything that you like maybe look back and go, oh god, like, I really should have done it like this way, or I really need to start learning to do it this way, like, because you have like no experience because you're designing,
honestly, so many things, I'm not gonna lie, that went kind of wrong in a way.
That's okay. What went wrong that you,
I think with the first one, working with people, and like, I'm always used to being hired, but then hiring people, it was a bit of a shock to the system, and like trying to make sure everyone's happy. I'm such a people pleaser when it comes to, but like, it's so bad being a freelancer, being a people pleaser, because it's like, you'll get no sleep. You'll do anything for them. So I think making sure everyone was really happy and comfortable, like, working with me. And then if I found out people weren't, it was just like, oh, like, I just felt so bad. And like, I think in the first one, obviously I'm going to make mistakes. I didn't even know what I was doing. Like, I was literally making up, but I think it looked like I knew what I was doing. So it was just striking the balance of like working with people that like can tell me if I'm doing something wrong, or like trusting me that I'll learn from it, was really important. But yeah, I've learned a lot.
Yeah, but like, I think sometimes you kind of just do need to just jump in head first and just try and just give it a go. Because that is literally the only way you're going to learn. Yeah. Like, you can't be an expert in anything.
No.
Until you've done it.
Exactly. And I was happy to do that. But looking back, I was like, I should have done it like this. But even so, in issue two, like, there are mistakes that I've made. And it's just next time, I'll like, this time, the deadline was so tight. I think I sent it to print and I was still working on it that morning, which is not okay. It's not okay. I don't know why I did that, but I make my own deadline. I think you need to, in a way, because I could have been designing it forever, but
the deadline was
way too tight.
I did think, I was like, gosh, don't mess up. Like, this has been like,
I was going to do 3 a year. It's 2 a year.
Oh,
thank God. You know, some magazines are monthly. How do people do
that? That's insane.
It's crazy.
Because the amount of work that I can only imagine that goes into it.
I know. And it's like trying to, the shoots for issue two were really hard, to be fair, because it was like trying to plan the photographer and the writer to be available on the same day, and then plan with the cafes, and it was just crazy. It was carnage.
But are you someone who kind of thrives on that sort of like wait, or are you someone who
like, I don't know actually, because I am very I like have my ducks in a row at all times.
Yeah.
But I thrive off being busy. I can't be bored.
Same.
I literally go crazy.
Same.
Yeah. I don't even know that feeling. Like yesterday, I said to my friend, like, I've not woken up on a day and been like, what am I gonna do today? In probably like 3 years.
Yeah.
Every day I'm like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. See, on a Sunday I'll be in the bath. I'll be organizing my week ahead.
Yeah.
So like, I know it's coming. Do you think that's because we're freelancers?
100%.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, in the evenings I can switch off.
Like, yeah.
You best believe 7 p.m. I'm in the bath.
Yeah.
I'm watching a film.
Yeah.
But I will never not do work in a day ever. Mm. Whether that's even posting on Instagram, you know, yeah. like that is because we're freelancers. Yeah.
And you're also the owner of something that you really care about. Yeah. I think if you've got something like that that you've founded and you've created,
yeah.
you almost feel this responsibility of like, yeah. I need to be on it every single day. Otherwise,
I think that's yeah. what I've struggled with. It's like the pressure with issue two. Like I'm like kind of the face of it. So it's yeah. if something goes wrong, like it reflects on me as a designer and as yeah. like a person. So like that's quite heavy.
It
yeah.
is.
You can probably relate to that as well. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. You just have to not think too deeply about it. Because we're not like bad people. Like nothing's going to go majorly wrong.
Nothing. And if you decide know. Not to do work one day, yeah. it's like no one's going to be like I know. Phoning you being like, Nancy.
I know, but it feels
sandwiches
like
sandwiches is going to go in the gutter. yeah. You need to do something now.
I know. It's like I put this pressure on myself to do it. But I think that creates good work as well.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. So like you're... Like, this whole thing started mm-hmm. from a passion project. Why, in your opinion, are passion projects really important, especially for young design students or grads? Like, what can happen if you do just take that leap? Mm. Like, from my experience, passion projects, this podcast is a passion
yeah,
project.
Yeah.
And, like, you're saying, like, people would come up to me, like, when is the next episode?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what have I created? A monster?
Yeah, literally.
But, like... started it as soon as I graduated
uh-huh.
and it came from a place of I'm really passionate about getting to know people, about creative yeah. people, lifting them up, cheering them on and giving them like some spotlight.
I love that.
It's great.
Yeah.
But like how important do you think passion projects are specifically for that kind of type of like
yeah
type, like demographic?
I think like the most important thing mm-hmm. ever, because for me like it's made me work out. And I go through phases. I feel like you've said this before, that I actually don't want to be a graphic designer.
Like, what am I doing here?
Like, I do, yeah. but I think I worked out that the reason why I love doing this, because I like being in control of, like, a whole project,
same.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like seeing the production, like, start to finish and having it as this big thing. And, like, design, for this magazine, design is literally, like, 5% of it. In my eyes,
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
that is like the afterthought. Obviously I give it so much care and attention, but I don't even think about the design until like the whole front bit is done. And I love the front bit
yeah.
so much. So I think passion projects allow you to just like experience a different type of design and doesn't like confine you to a box. Like you can literally do anything you like. And the hardest part is starting a passion project. So I just feel like if you have an idea, like what can go wrong?
Yeah.
Just start it and see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's super important.
It's so important.
So important.
So important.
Yeah.
Okay, Nancy, we're moving on to the most important question of the podcast.
Yes.
Which is, of course, what is your favourite movie?
Mm-hmm.
And the tastiest pie, but we're going to change it.
Okay.
So the tastiest sandwich.
Okay.
That you've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Favourite movie question is such a stressful question for me because I have so many. But I always have an answer, and it's always two films.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
And hear me out, because this is basic as fuck.
Okay.
And this is such like a boy movie, but I've got a good reason.
Okay. This is something with Jason Statham in it.
Interstellar is my favourite film.
Oh, same!
Really?
Yes!
No way!
No, yeah. That's a great answer.
Okay, good, because I know so many like... I don't know, like hearing like, some men say it, I'm like, cringe.
Like
but if I like it, it's not cringe. Do you know what I mean?
It's not a boy film.
No,
there's
yeah.
no way. It's boys seen that film and thought, we're going to make this a boy film.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
when you go see it, like my best friend went to go see it and she was like, Chloe, I came out of that cinema crying because I was scared that there was astronauts on the walls. And I'm like, it's a fair fear to have.
Yeah.
But that film is the perfect film.
It really is. I saw it when I was 13, when it came out.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
dad took me to the IMAX to see it. And that's the first film I ever saw in the IMAX.
Oh my God.
I remember watching, I was so young, like a 13-year-old watching that is quite mad.
Yeah.
And I remember the feeling I had coming out of it. It's so cringe, but whatever. And I literally was like, it was the first thing I ever saw where I was like, I want to create like art.
Yeah.
Because I was so moved by it and like the soundtrack and I was just like, it really stuck with me.
Yeah,
so,
and
big
like,
up dad.
Yeah.
Thanks, dad.
Thanks, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, literally. Oh, and then my second one, School of Rock.
Oh, ass. Do you remember, did you ever have the things in your bedroom where you put CDs in?
Yeah.
But it like hung on the wall.
Yeah.
I had a School of Rock one. I loved School of Rock.
School of Rock's the best.
It's a great film.
It's my childhood favourite.
Yeah.
So two quite different ones. But,
yeah, you know. But oh my god, I can't believe you were so like nervous to say Interstellar. I'm like that. No,
I know. I just feel like people sometimes when you say it, it's such a basic film to love because it's such a widely loved film.
Yeah,
but it's for a good reason. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Exactly. So nailed it.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
The tastiest sandwich.
Okay.
You've ever had.
Yes.
It could be associated with like a memory. Mm-hmm. It could be one that you've had recently.
Yeah.
What's coming to mind?
The thing is coming to mind straight away, and it is kind of the reason. It's like why I got the idea of focusing on sandwiches. So I'm just going to say this story.
Okay.
But it was Outlier's chicken sandwich.
Oh.
Have you ever been to Outlier?
No.
I mean, and Bocca.
This is actually the best sandwich.
Bocca is also my favourite, just FYI. But I went to Outlier, I had their fried chicken sandwich, and it changed my life. It really did.
Okay.
It is incredible. Right, it's different to this.
Okay.
This is focaccia. It's not focaccia at Outlier.
Right, okay.
But I was eating it and I was like, people gotta know about this sandwich.
So let's make a magazine.
They actually were an issue one.
But hopefully there won't be at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So that I recommend.
Okay, yeah. Good. I'm trying to think like my fondest sandwich memory.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best one I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably associated with the beach.
Yeah. Or that one. That's always my answer. Yeah.
Or like, no, I know. Actually, no, mm-hmm. I lie. I associate it with like, I made a packed lunch room in Switzerland. So it was like raspberries, strawberries. And I made this like homemade like sandwich.
So
and then we took it up to like this viewpoint and mm-hmm. we just sat in the sun in Switzerland.
A looking sandwich at the on a walk.
Oh my god.
A sandwich with a view.
Oh my fuck.
Unreal.
God.
Yeah.
So good.
It hits different.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
Mm-hmm. Or I'd say on a Sunday when I was younger, we used to go to a car boot sale every Sunday. And it was always like these food trucks, and they did tuna melt toasties and like really shit white bread, really shit stringy cheese, and it was just.
Guilty pleasure sort of stuff.
Yeah, like lots of good memories.
So shit, so good.
Yeah, love it.
Fantastic answers.
Thank you.
Great answers. So we're working our way towards the end now.
Mm-hmm.
So sandwiches has already had such an impact on the Glasgow food scene. Whether I'm like you. Uh-huh. I'm like, if anyone makes a compliment,
I'm like, oh,
I'm like, what do you mean? I've not done that thing. But it truly has.
Thank you.
You know what? Truly
Thanks.
Has. So, like, where do you see this going? Like, what kind of more impact do you see it having? Like, what's your plans? You don't have to spill all, because some of it you can keep a secret, obviously. Uh-huh,
yeah.
But, like, at least in the immediate, like, where do you see things going?
I have the next 3 issues planned.
Oh, my God.
Like, the themes. I know. There's so much you can do. So the ones next year, I'm going to stray away from sandwiches.
Okay.
But the first theme kind of links, but then the other theme doesn't really link, but it's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, kind of go into different food groups. Mm-hmm. I just see a lot of, like, collaboration. Like, I'm planning quite a few events right now with different sandwich spots.
Yes.
I just see a lot of, honestly, I actually don't know. I think with this, right, I think because I love living in the moment with this. Like, if someone asks me, like, do you have a 5-year plan? It's my least favourite question.
No.
I actually hate planning ahead because I love that I don't know what it's going to look like next year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have the themes planned, but equally, like, it could take me down this path, great, or that path, great. Like, I just kind of like not knowing where I'm going to be, you know?
Where has it taken you since doing it? Because you spoke at Curio, which is fantastic.
Thank you.
Like, but what other things have actually happened for you from taking this leap into doing this?
Yeah, I think for me, I've always wanted to feel a part of like a community. And I think before I did this, I didn't really go to like a lot of the design talks because I never felt like a designer because I didn't do a lot of layout and editorial and there wasn't really like a space for that. In Glasgow, there probably is, but I just didn't really feel part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to feel part of the community and just like I've always just wanted to like create something that people like. It sounds so simple, mm-hmm. but it's hard to create something that people like. Like, it's a skill and like that people emotionally connect to. And I think just making this, it's made me feel just like respected and like kind yeah. of, I feel understood more in a way because yeah. it's so me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the fact people like it is quite heartwarming because it's like, I see this is like my thing.
Yeah,
and the
yeah.
fact people like it's quite reassuring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I get
so
that.
So it's brought me a lot of joy.
Yeah. No, yeah. that's wonderful.
Yeah. To hear. Yeah, it's really
Cause
nice.
Because that should be, it should never, like, you can go out your way to do things, but you can't force things to be a certain yeah. thing. And I feel like joy,
mm-hmm.
inherent joy and genuine, like, mm-hmm. positivity around yeah. something is something you can't manufacture.
100%.
Like, you have to do it from a place of passion.
Yeah.
And then hope that people will receive
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
And they have.
I think what I've learned is if you make stuff that's authentic to you, because when I was doing logos and, like, when I was at art uni and I was doing all these projects that just weren't good, they weren't good because I didn't like it and yeah. I wasn't excited by it, but I was just doing it because everyone else was doing it, yeah. you know? But as soon as I started making stuff that I liked doing, people started liking it. And I think it just comes, like, mm-hmm. when you make from a place of, like, authenticity, like, people know that and connect to it a lot more.
100%.
You know?
100%. Yeah. I've found that even just from, like, starting the Creative Pals community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I started that out of something that I was missing.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, I'm kind of bored of, like, going to, like, talks and events and,
exactly.
like, seeing these people in passing and never, like, yeah. actually spending time
yeah.
with them.
Yeah,
and everything we do whenever we spend time together is work-related.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm so over it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to do fun shit. Like, 100%. I'm so bored of doing all this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like, yeah. people were like, oh, my God, I love this. Yeah. I need this.
Yeah.
And now that community is growing and growing mm-hmm. and growing. And
yeah.
like, people have received it very well.
Exactly.
But, like, make, like you were saying as well, like, create something that you're missing or that mm-hmm. you would love to read or
exactly.
see.
Exactly. I think that's what it is as well. Like, I would buy that.
Yeah.
I would, yeah. I made it yeah. because I would buy that.
Yeah.
You know. So that's, I hope people would agree with me and buy it, which I think they do. So.
They do.
Yeah.
And if you yeah. and if you listen to this and you haven't bought one yet,
go buy it.
Maybe sold out.
Oh, God. The thing is, right, it's selling really well, but I can't, if it sells out, I don't want to do a second print run, so I don't really know what I'm going to do. Oh, well. We'll cross that bridge and get to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the last question I have for you, Nancy,
okay.
before we go,
yeah,
is if a design student is listening to this, a young creative person who wants to start their own project like this, mm-hmm. whatever it is, what would you say to them?
The quote I live by, and it's really cliche, and you literally said it earlier, but I literally have told myself that every day, it's fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
It really is such a powerful quote. Like, if you actually sit with it for a minute.
Yeah.
And just deep it.
Yeah.
I honestly, before I started this, I was faking it every day. Mm-hmm. I think I'm quite good at putting on, I am quite a confident person, but I think I'm also good at pretending like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What I've realised, getting older, becoming an adult, no one knows what they're doing.
No one knows.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, the people you think have it together, they literally don't.
Yeah.
And it's so comforting.
It is.
You know?
It is.
Working with different people and going to these places, I really realised that it's just all a shit show.
Yeah.
And it works, though. Because, like, people just, like, pretend like it's not, and then it naturally, like, becomes better.
It's a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So, fake it till you make
it.
Yeah, literally fake it till you make it.
It's funny, it's quite, I've actually, a couple of people I've been interacting with
mm-hmm.
recently who don't like that phrase.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to ask them why, but no. But it's like, they kind of, like, in passing be like, oh, I don't really agree with that. And I'm like,
really?
I should probe next time.
I really want to know why.
Why? Because I'm like, I'm such a believer in it.
Yeah.
Like, I started a podcast, not having a fucking clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, people will say,
exactly.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Like,
exactly.
like you've got it all sorted and you're just going to like,
mm-hmm.
I don't
Absolutely. I'm so intrigued by that as to why.
Why?
I must know.
Yeah, no. Well, when I find out, I'll let you know.
Yes.
But yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming on.
That was so fun.
Yeah, and congratulations on all of this.
Thank you. Keep it up.
Keep doing it because it's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And as I said, if you haven't bought it yet, guys, go bloody buy it.
Please.
Yeah.
Help a girl out.
Oh, what an absolute joy that was chatting to Nancy. She is so inspirational and so full of life. I absolutely loved it and I hope you did too. If you want to check out Sandwiches or connect with Nancy, I've added all the links in the description below. Definitely go and give her a follow. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't be shy, give it some love. You can follow the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to see some exclusive content, then you can join my Patreon. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day and I'll chat with you soon.
Say hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
No, whatever.
Hi, friends. I'm Greg.
And I'm Ross.
And we run Scottish Creative Network.
We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Chatty Freelancer podcast.
We are very proud to be the sponsors of said podcast and the hosts of monthly creative events here at the Social Hub.
Join us every month to meet your creative community and join us for our signature creative chaos.
Signature? That sounds fancy.
It is what we do.
Anyway, you can grab a discount code below.
Oh wait, I was making a stupid face.